Adyen is the payments platform made for today, tomorrow, and whatever comes next. With Adyen's single solution, it's simple to accept all kinds of payments. In-app, online, in-store, touch-free, and beyond. And it seamlessly adapts with your business. So keep your customers happy and your business growing with Adyen. Visit adyen.com to learn more. That's ADYEN.com.
I got into journalism when I was, my late teens, early 20s. Started writing, started designing newspapers. It was newspapers. Newspapers were still the thing. Like, the web existed, but, people weren't doing a lot of it. And then I got into the web after that, caught on. So graphic design was sort of was what I started with. And then digital video happened in the early, around 2000 or so. And then I just transitioned over to that. Like, I had skills, I knew how to, run graphic software. So I could apply some of that stuff to video. So I just started making videos for fun. I started making comedy videos. That was what I started with. Made sketches and video blogs and, just had fun. And got better and better at it. And then eventually I got a job in video production. And then I made Everything is a Remix, which was a series about creativity. It started about 10 years ago, ran for a couple of years. And that was a big, big success. And I started doing talks and getting freelance video commissions and stuff like that. And then basically since then, I've been able to maintain a freelance video independent creator lifestyle somehow, which is not easy, very stressful, very dodgy, but I've somehow managed to keep doing it. And then I started another series after that called This Is Not a Conspiracy Theory, which I finished just last year. So that was a feature length documentary about conspiracy theories. So I ended up getting into sort of conspiracy theories that ostensibly that's a big part of what I've been doing lately. So misinformation and disinformation, those have been big themes for me, but also I'm very into systems, which is something that I was into in Everything is Remix. It was about copyright and laws and policies and what kinds of incentives are created. And I'm very into systems because I feel like they're the thing that systems are just kind of the rules of society. They're very abstract. They're kind of difficult to get your arms around. So I've been trying to kind of popularize the concept of systems, of rules, of the incentives that they create, because I think a lot of people, they see conspiracies where there actually are just systems. They think things are coordinated by a bunch of people, like puppet masters, like pulling the strings, when actually it's the rules that have been set up sometimes, and often it's not by governments, often it's by culture. It just emerged from all of us agreeing that things work a certain way, but an incredible amount of the time it's technology. And the rules aren't designed necessarily intentionally. I think oftentimes they just sort of emerge. They pop up. Mark Zuckerberg starts Facebook, and then eventually it has all these rules. But he didn't have a plan. He wasn't intending to. I don't think he even wanted to be a media company. He's always resisted that idea. And here we are. So I ended up in conspiracy world and systems world, and those are sort of my current passions. But I'm also doing Everything is Remix again. I'm gonna reboot it, retell the story in a new way, hopefully this year. I've researched basically from the 50s onward. I have a good familiarity with conspiracy theories, and you certainly could do it. It was brochures in the old days, right? You had to print off a bunch of paper documents, and then you had to hand them out in the street or mail them out or whatever. So it was it was expensive, right? You had to print a bunch of paper. You had to distribute it in some fashion. It was more like running a newspaper is now or whatever, right? It was expensive and cumbersome and slow. So it was hard in the old days, and now it's easy. And we're grappling with that, right? And this stuff can magnify in a way that it never used to be able to, right? It was hard for conspiracy people to find each other and sort of form a culture, form a little it's more culty than it used to be, right? Like, it's like people can form into communities. They reject outside information. They incentivize each other to believe, you know, they give you all sorts of likes and retweets and whatever. When you say the right, when you talk about Q, they give you all sorts of rewards. You know, they make you feel good for believing the stuff you believe. So it's taken on, in my opinion, kind of a culty aspect that I think that has always been there, but it was harder to make happen because it was just harder to form those connections, right? And now it's easier to form those connections. And we've got a real problem on our hands nowadays, right? Like, it's a real, there just are people out there who have detached from reality. And I realize that all of us are sort of in our bubbles and we all have stupid ideas about what we think is going on, but like QAnon and like the election fraud narrative here in the United States, these are like another level of just rejecting what is going on in real life. So we've got a real problem on our hands, and how to fix it is a real open subject, because then we get into the issue of free speech and like what people can or cannot say, which is also something that like I'm into that topic. I'm sure you are as well. Like I support free speech. I want people to be able to say, to speak freely, but at the same time, society has limits, right? You can't just say whatever you want. And I mean, it's gotten worse. Like, we've had Fox News for whatever, a couple of decades now. But now there's even more extreme outlets like OAN and Newsmax, where they will they're all in on like the election fraud narrative, which like I think on Fox News, it was a little more like the news division wasn't reporting it as a fact. It was open, like the opinion people were kind of talking about it, but they weren't saying they weren't outright saying that the election was stolen. That was more online and in these harder, more right-wing outlets. So like there's these, it seems to be getting worse right now, unfortunately. Like, we had this polarization between left and right. And I also feel like outlets like CNN have gotten more left-wing than they used to be, right? Like, I felt like before Trump, honestly, I felt like CNN was, from what I saw of it, was like, it was liberal, but it wasn't ranting at you in the same way that it is now. Or has been in the post-Trump era. So I feel like the liberal stuff has, of course, also gotten more liberal. So both sides have polarized. But I mean, I am a liberal, so I'm not unbiased. But it does seem like the mainstream of the right has gone farther than the mainstream of the left has. Like, we just elected Joe Biden. You know, like that's a moderate. That's not somebody who's going to make That's not somebody that the real left-wing part of the party and the culture really likes, right? Like, they're not that into him. That's not their guy. So we elected kind of a moderate, you know, the right went with Donald Trump, who was a hard right nut job, you know? Like, they went really far. So I am real concerned about the left ultimately going crazy as well. But yeah, the polarization is a real concern as well. We've got real media technology problems going on in this country, and how to solve them is real tricky. I feel like something has happened is that just a segment of society that we didn't hear from before, like a lower class, less educated, part realm of society who weren't in media, they weren't in urban areas, they didn't write for newspapers. You would see them a bit in the letters to the editor of a newspaper. You might see them interviewed occasionally on the news, like in Manham Street kind of stuff, interviews. So you might see them a little bit there. But I feel like part of what's happening is just these people who haven't had a voice before are having a voice now. And there's problems with that, right? Like, it's not, how do I say this nicely? Like, it's a young sort of outlook that they have. It's an immature sort of outlook that I think we're getting. It hasn't it hasn't achieved maturity yet. So like when people are attracted to narratives like QAnon or whatever, that's a real like dramatic, exciting story, right? That I think people who don't necessarily watch a lot of news or read a lot of nonfiction or whatever, they mostly are watching TV or watching movies or whatever. So they've been indoctrinated in this media complex like the rest of us have. But I think they think it's more real maybe than some of the rest of us do. Like something like QAnon to me, like just the drama of the story and like the evilness of the bad guys, like I find that real suspicious, right? Like I think a lot of us would find that really like, oh, you think there's evil people out there that are like murdering and raping children and they're all blackmailing each other. Like it's so dramatic that it's like, oh, give me a break. Like this can't possibly be real, right? So there's an immaturity, I think, to a wing of the culture right now where people, and I think that can change, you know, I think that can evolve. Like I'm a bit resistant to being critical of these people because I know, like I grew up in a conservative area. I know these people. I respect these people. I think they have lots of great qualities. It's just like, is news sophistication or comprehension of what's going on in society like a strong suit of folks like this? No, I don't think it is. They have lots of other great qualities, like they're hardworking and they're loyal and they're fun. Like there's lots of good qualities that these people have, but I think this is an area where, you know, I think growth needs to happen. Everybody needs to get a little more experienced in terms of understanding what is going on in reality and like digital literacy, like understanding like, oh, this just is incredible. Like just being able to look at something, like there's a lot of folks out there who just will look at some anonymous blog post from wherever and they just accept it at face value. You know, they're not like, they don't have a filter like a lot of us people who are more experienced with media have a filter and reject lots of stuff, right? Like I think a lot of these people, they don't have that experience, so they don't know how to do that yet. I think of it almost like operating systems in technology. Like you can have something like the Mac, which is very like Apple kind of has an iron grip on what goes on the iPhone or on the Mac or whatever, right? Like it's quite centralized. They have a lot of authority. And then there's something like Windows, which is sort of in between. It's more open. There is more freedom to do what you want. And there's something like Linux, which is truly open, but like it's chaotic and it's hard to understand. It doesn't have the nice integration. It doesn't have the nice aesthetic and design that like Apple products do. And I think like we're always trying to find this kind of balance between closed, where things are regulated and there's more things are kind of managed in a better way, and negative outcomes are suppressed more effectively. But if you go too far with that, then it gets really constrained, and really people don't have enough freedom to innovate. They don't have enough freedom to express themselves. So we're always kind of trying, I think, like finding this balance between open and closed. I think is, you know, it's an ongoing battle and conversation. And you can go too far you can go too far in either direction, right? Like it can be too open and there's lots of hacking going on and lots of, you know, lots of scams and BS. Like you could argue that like the information media scape is too open right now, right? Like we are bullshit and slander and like some of this stuff, it's not just lies, it's also like there's the part of the election problem is this company called Dominion Voting Systems. There's these stories going around that they're funded by Hugo Chavez. That's just crazy. Anyway, they're suing people lately, right, for because their business has been badly damaged, right, by these totally unsubstantiated baloney claims, right? So people are also like, they're having their lives harmed by this freedom, right? Like this business has been perhaps irrevocably damaged, right? By just people spouting this nonsense. On the other hand, if you suppress the speech too much, then people can't speak freely and have conversations and evolve to something better. But I would be concerned. I like that Europe hasn't fostered its own tech. To me, I don't know a lot about what's going on in Europe, but that seems a bit concerning to me. Like what's going on there that people can't innovate at a high level? That it's just not taking root there. I would definitely be concerned about that. So I defer, generally speaking. I want things more open. I'm okay with a little more, with some amount of chaos, but I'm not, I won't just tolerate whatever, right? Like there are limits. But I personally think we should defer more to things being open, people being able to say what they want, people being able to innovate and come up with new ideas. It needs to be a topic that people, that kids are taught in school for sure. But I also feel like younger people, gosh, do I really think this? I feel like plenty of younger people, they feel like, oh, if it's just some story on the internet, like who knows if that's real or not, right? Like I definitely know some young people who look at things, that they look at the internet with a lot of skepticism, right? And they're maybe a bit cynical. They're maybe kind of slow to believe kind of anything. I think, you know, just straight up education is what works for younger people. For older people, I think like it might just be that we're not going to get some of these people back, you know, like that could be part of it. That might be part of what happens, but I think like the rest of us, I think need to apply gentle pressure to our parents and grandparents or whoever these folks are. I think we need to make it a social movement, just like try to, without lecturing them, without berating them or making them feel stupid, you know, just pushing back and trying to pull them back from these really extreme ideas that are circulating right now. So I like the idea of a social movement where we all kind of help out the older generation who are slower to figure these things out. Because I don't, aside from more regulation for what can go on these platforms, I'm not sure what else we can do. But it might be that just people need to, you know, those people are going to get old and die, you know, like that's how some things work in society. Like there's old beliefs. Like if there were people who were 300 years old right now, there would be people who believe in slavery, you know, like they wouldn't give up on those ideas. They would keep them. So there's just the cycling of society, the coming and going of generations might help us out a bit here. Like I understand the criticisms of the media sphere, like their tendency to exaggerate, their tendency towards groupthink, like some topic becomes a thing and then they're all on the thing. They're kind of clickbaity quality to the news. Like I understand these criticisms and it's produced, right? Like it's not just reality. It's this show that somebody is creating for you, right? So it's artificial to some degree. So I get these criticisms of the news, but I just generally feel like people go too far with this stuff, right? Like they start to think that what's happening when there's just like factual claims in the news that they don't believe that either. Whereas I feel like the strong suit of news reporting is just like if something just physically happened in the world and they say like this person was there and that happened and whatever, and then a bunch of different reporters all say the same thing, we can all go, okay, well, like we have a good idea about what happened with the storming of the Capitol in Washington, D.C., right? Like not only were there lots of reporters there, there were lots of just people documenting it. And we have an excellent comprehension of what happened there, right? So I think you can believe a lot of the reporting of what happened there. So when there are these people who are thinking that like Antifa made it, like, you know, the conspiracy theorists, it's just like, oh, come on. Like, that's just like, we know who these people are who went in the building. Like, they're known figures often. So I feel like kids have gotten, I understand where the criticism comes from, but I feel like a lot of younger people, they just go too far with that. And there's some overestimating of your friends and stuff, you know, like your friends don't know, like, what do they know about these topics, you know? So I actually feel like people have gone too far with criticizing the news. I feel I would love to see the news innovate and get better for sure. That's what I'd really love to see. That I don't feel like I am really seeing. I don't feel like I'm really seeing them kind of change the game. And I would love to see that. But I feel like younger people have gone too far with being skeptical of the news often. It's a real concern. And like what the way, again, it's another one of these things where like what the solution is, I'm not sure, but they're too big. They're too big. It's easy to think, oh, they're really big because they're really ruthless and they just wanted more and more market share and they just went out there and got it. But I think like we are responsible for the size of these companies. Like we like having that one place, like you want to search for something, you go to Google and you do it there. Like you want to buy whatever, you go to Amazon and you do it there. You want a computer, you get Windows or you get the Mac, right? Like we like everybody using it's efficient for the rest of us when people just use the same thing, right? Like that we're attracted to using common services, right? Like I use FaceTime and my mom uses FaceTime, so we both buy iPhones and that works. That's a win for everybody. It keeps things simpler. So people can create these kinds of monocultures. I think we as a culture are responsible for creating these giant corporations. Like if people were like, I don't want to use Facebook, I want to use something else, then we wouldn't have this problem to the same degree. But indisputably, they are too freaking gigantic, and that they are not just tech companies, but like it'd be one thing if Apple like just made computers or just made phones or whatever, or Amazon just sold books or something like that. Like if they were really big, but they were just sort of constrained more to a single realm, that would be very different. But they're such multifaceted, gigantic things that they control a bunch of different levers of power, right? Like that's really, really concerning. They're just too big. So I do feel like breaking them up is a potential option. I would be open to breaking them up possibly. But again, like how you do that is not obvious. Like if you want to break up YouTube, how do you break up YouTube? Like the benefit of YouTube is that like it's like the video site and that's where kind of everything is. Like, do you make like a kid's YouTube and an adult's YouTube? I don't know, like maybe that's a start, but like how you split these things up is real tricky as well. But there's definitely a problem with the scale of them. And I feel like we need innovation. And I feel like us owning our data is part of it. Like if there could be some sort of solution where the data that is accrued about me on Google or whatever, and you can do some of this now, they do, some of those features are there. If you could take that with you when you leave, you can delete it, you can wipe it, you can do whatever, like it's your possession. And yes, they can run ads and they can make money on it and all that stuff while they have it. But if it's your property, and you can do with it as you will and take it to other services and kind of do whatever you want with it, I think that would be a help as well. So it seems like we need some sort of digital rights movement as well. All this stuff is real tricky, you know, like what the answers are is totally non-obvious. So these are real complicated problems and we're going to need a lot of different people working on them with a lot of different perspectives. We're going to have to throw a lot of different ideas at the wall because what's going to work is not clear. But there's definitely, it's not sustainable what we're doing. And it's funny too, like there's some of the decisions that have gone on like Twitter or Facebook for me, where like the banning of QAnon, to me, that was like, that seemed like the right call to me. Like, I don't know what else you do. Like you just let it keep growing in the belief that, well, at some point people are going to get wise to it and then it'll die down again. Well, when's that going to happen? Like I followed it for a couple of years. It's just growing and growing and growing and growing. Like, what are we supposed to do? Like, I feel like something has to happen, but what if it's some call that you don't like next time, right? Like, what if it's, whatever it is, just something that you don't agree with, and they're just pulling a lever and canceling it. That's a real concern for sure. So I think like when people look at these problems, you have to think like, what if I didn't like the decision that they're making? How would I feel about it? And I wouldn't feel good about these centralized, opaque decisions that are often going on. It's really going to be concerning. Like you're talking about this journalist who lost her job. Like there are going to be lawyers who lose their jobs. Like it's just a matter of time until you can have some sort of AI that can parse legal claims more efficiently than a person can. I don't think it's even that far in the future, right? So there are lots of this sort of administrative stuff that's coming up. Technical sort of tasks that we need people for now that are going to get, they're going to start. So basically like middle class people are going to start losing their jobs to AI. And traditionally through the Industrial Revolution and the early information economy, it's been the working class that has taken the brunt of this, right? And this is a big part of what's going on with populism in the world is that, you know, these jobs have gone to China or in many cases, they've become robots. I believe in North America, that's often what's happening. They've been, the people have been let go in favor of machines. So I think a universal basic income is something that, like, I think it was Elon Musk said, it's just, we're not going to have a choice but to do it. So that's going to be something that I think will be in play as an option that people are just going to have to try and experiment with and improve and see what happens and see if it's sustainable at all. But that's a massive mind breaker there. And just how fast it's going to move is also, like, I'm not clear on, like, is it going to be, like, I know that this technology is exponentially improving, but in terms of what it's going to feel like in our life, I'm not quite sure what's going to happen. Like, is it another 10 years before we start seeing kind of weird stuff, like I'm talking to a machine right now. That's pretty, like, if you call up tech support or whatever, and you talk to a robot and it's like, whoa, that sounds like a person. Like, what is going on here? Like, when are we going to see that sort of stuff? You know, I'm not so sure. Because in a lot of ways, AI is still, I would say, quite primitive, generally speaking, right now. It's not good at fooling us, generally speaking, but boy, that could potentially change really fast. So I'm sorry that I don't have a better answer to that, but you know what? I'm not sure anybody does. I'm not sure that, I think, like, if you asked a bunch of people that, I'd be curious how you do with it. Like, I think you get like a piece from a bunch of different people that might add up to something, but that's a real head scratcher that's going to take a lot of brilliant minds working on to figure out how economies continue to exist when potentially a bunch of work has been sucked up by AIs and machines, right? Like, what do humans do? There's lots of dystopia sort of scenarios that can possibly, sort of Skynet type scenarios that we could get there that are definitely concerning. So that's a real realm of concern for people. And I think something that I would say I'm especially concerned about is, like, what is the pace that these are conversations that need to happen right now, right? You know, like, people need to really be talking about this. Like, we have people in the US, like Andrew Yang, who are bringing this topic up. And I think, like, people really need to be thinking about this and talking about this and working on this topic, because otherwise what could happen is, like, suddenly it's happening, like, you're in it. And suddenly, like, just people are losing jobs left, right, and center. And what do we do about it? Then it's too late, you know, then we're really in trouble. So I think people need to start having this conversation right now.
I haven't really woken up until I've had my McDonald's breakfast deal. And I know this is true because before breakfast, I put my phone in the refrigerator and couldn't find the keys that were already in my hand.
Nothing gets the morning going like the first sip of an iced coffee. Get any size and any flavor for 99 cents until 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
Now is the chance to use reliable energy to grow your money with the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. Our new investment product offers competitive returns, no maintenance fees, and flexible online access to your money. Make the reliable investment in reliable energy, the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. To find out more, go online to reliabilityinvestment.com. That's reliabilityinvestment.com.